Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And today we're here with Angus.
Hello.
Cassandra.
Hey.
Baylor.
Hi.
Baylor's not looking good.
It's how you feel.
Lisa.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
Uh-oh.
That's warm
Mackenzie.
Outside.
What are we watching, I wonder? And Jeanette.
Smeghead.
Oh, and Justin, that's me. And today we're apparently watching...
It's the Redemption.
Redemption!
Redemption! It's a Redemption.
That was so... Who needs a soundboard?
We can do it ourselves.
What are we watching?
Red Dwarf.
Oh!
Yeah. Wow.
This is a surprise to me.
Huh? Wow!
Why did you tell me earlier?
Sorry, I was waiting after Justin kind of set me up to announce what we're watching. I just waited to see how long it would take for him to break the silence on his own.
Until it became awkward.
Everyone saved him, so it didn't really work out.
They can edit that out.
Oh, shut.
They, do you mean Jen?
They won't hear the 2 minutes of awkward silence that occurred. Oh, you villain. Okay.
I waited and waited.
So, yes, we're watching Red Dwarf.
Which episode?
Yay.
I don't know. No. So, I was looking at the episode.
It was a hard call.
I have made a decision, but it is a very difficult call.
Because it's a redemption.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because there's
your last chance.
Yeah.
There's so many factors as well, because if you do ones for people that haven't seen it before, you do ones that establish the characters, you do ones that are fun on its own right.
You do ones that won the Emmy Award.
Yeah.
Can we actually talk about why we're doing a redemption for Red Dwarf?
Yeah. Please. Yes, we should do that, because the last episode we did of Red Dwarf, we were all really positive about it.
No, we not.
No, in the recording, I feel like we were more positive, and then I feel like everyone the day
after
went... Do
you feel like Jeanette edited out all the negativity?
We did not appreciate it.
I don't remember there being negativity.
We really didn't like it. It felt like it didn't set well.
For an episode that I absolutely loved, I actually brought my Mr. Flibble in, Quarantine, I feel like, felt a bit flat when we watched it.
It felt super flat.
Yeah, and that's why we've given this a redemption, because Red Dwarf is, I mean, Lisa...
That was my whole identity during the 90s.
Justin.
Yes.
Angus.
I grew up with Red Dwarf.
Big fans.
Enacted certain scenes. It was the snake head.
Inappropriate scenes.
And Cass?
Yeah, definitely. We taped it off the TV when it aired in like 97.
Yeah.
And we just wore it down.
So I was telling Angus this.
Yeah.
And instead of saying taped it, this is how Gen Z I am, Mackenzie.
Yeah.
You downloaded it
from
the TV, is what I said. What has become of me?
Yeah. I just torrented it with my VHS player.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
You streamed it on ABC One.
Oh, no.
But yeah, no, it's been kind of core in a lot of our...
Development as adult Chaos
Gremlins. So it definitely deserved a redemption.
Just answer the question.
So, I went looking for the episodes to watch.
Yeah.
I looked at IMDb because I was curious as to what IMDb thought was the best episodes. Quarantine was rated number 2 as the second best episode. And that immediately filled me with dread.
Yeah.
I'd seen Quarantine and we weren't big on it. It didn't hold up with us as much as
I think it's because it felt way too real.
Oh, because
quarantine in quarantine.
Yeah.
We just got out of quarantine.
Yeah.
Like, this will be a fun in joke, and then just reality set in, and we all became the
And then when they're all catching with each other, it was a trigger.
Mr. Flibble was the government.
Yeah.
Without oxygen.
Yes.
Yes.
I have a few that I feel like could work and would work, and I'm really curious to know what you picked.
Yeah,
which season you picked.
I have a short list of everything from the first 3 seasons.
Yes. So, Baylor was strongly on the thought process that we should watch just the first episode.
My favourite, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I love the first season, but it's very... shaky low budget.
See? Yes. See, this is what I mean. This is what I'm saying. People are okay with the first season, but they don't love it.
Yeah. I also should mention
that I love the first season.
I love the first season, but I know if I'm going to get her to watch Red Dwarf, I'm going to have to start with the first season, but the first season's going to be a slog for her.
Yeah.
Because she's going to be like, what is this? The jokes are a little bit ba-boom-tsh. It's the character development. You need the character development to appreciate it.
And some of Holly's spiels at the beginning of those episodes are very relevant to things happening in the 70s.
80s.
Oh, that's 80s, true.
God. And they just go straight over my head. So, like, some of the jokes work. Some of them are very... time specific.
Because I'm like, those spills at the beginning were great. I don't know why they got rid of them, but they really might not hold up.
They were specific. Like, Holly would be referencing a person alive in British politics sort of thing and comparison.
Yeah.
Which I probably wouldn't have got the reference being a, you know, 10-year-old in Australia.
But certain elements of the context were lost. Season 2 didn't have Crichton.
Sure.
And that was kind of...
I didn't want to do the Crichton episode
because it doesn't have the same actor. Crichton's quite different, so...
And so you could have done that one. I always remember watching that one for the first time and, you know, you'd have the intro with the ship and the music, the haunting music, and then suddenly it went, dun, 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 and it was Crichton. We're like going, who the fuck's Crichton? What the fuck's Crichton? What's going on? Oh, my God, what's that music? Why is it so ominous? And it kind of, it set this tone for us. And then, but if it would hold up, don't know.
I decided season 3, still good, still comfortable. Crichton episode, and I was actually leaning towards backwards.
Fun fact, I have it on DVD, and you can watch it backwards on the DVD. It just plays the entire episode in reverse. I should have brought it. I didn't think of it.
I know on YouTube you can see someone's posted, like, when the guy's talking to them, it's backwards. And
I'm yelling at you, but I'm addressing the poor, sad git who's got a recording of this and is playing it backwards. What a poor, sad life he's got. That's what he says.
So, yeah, there's several season 3 episodes that I would have recommended. I reckon you're on the right season. Because I think, backwards, Marooned, I think, is a really good one. And that's really good character development, between Lister and Rimmer, and really understanding them, I think, is a good one. Polymorph was going to be my suggestion. And the other one was Better Than Life, would have been my other suggestion.
Didn't Polly change in season 3?
It was Hey Haywidge in this season.
Yes.
I think I didn't like the change.
No.
It was Norman Levitt for the first
season. Oh, season 4. Wasn't it season 4?
No. Norman Levitt's the first 2 seasons.
We're about to find out.
I should point out that I've watched season 2 and season 3 were on the tape, so I know this off by heart. So I know the reason why they changed is because the last episode of the second season was the Parallel Universe episode. It had the male Holly from the real universe and the female Holly from the other universe, and so they swapped.
You're right, because Marooned had Holly in it. That was one of the first ones where you really get to see
Hattie
Haywidge
doing
it. I like both.
Yeah.
As a kid, when I was growing up and watching it, I wasn't as much of a fan of the change. I was scared of it, uncomfortable even. But at the same time, my parents had just split up, so I was also very uncomfortable by that, very scared by it. I didn't like the change.
I like the way that...
So scarred.
There was definitely too much testosterone on the ship. They needed a woman on there.
They did.
But if they'd have had a woman on there, like when Kachansky comes on there, it's rife with issues, because then it becomes a bit of a, you know. So it was good to have Holly, because Holly was not a sexual object at all. And I loved that. Hattie Haywidge was also the first stand-up comedian I ever saw live, because my dad went and took me to go see her perform at the Fringe.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. What year would this have been?
Sorry?
What year would this have been?
96, 97.
Oh, okay.
I would have been about 15, 16 years old. Mm. And then about a week later, he went and took me to see Judith Lucy. And it was not kid appropriate, and I laughed my head off, and he was like,
I mean, you were 16.
I'm not comfortable with her knowing these references.
You were 16 in about 96, 97.
Angus,
just out of curiosity, how old were you in 96, 97?
Well, I was out of diapers.
I know.
96, I would have been 1 year old.
So as I said before, this book backwards that I have, I got for my 16th birthday, would have been in late 96. So yeah. This
so
is,
we've got backwards
that's
on
about
the
same age as you, sweetie pie.
Like, comparatively, it's like being reminded that people born in 2005 can now legally drink.
Stop. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
2007 can now legally drive.
On with the episode.
Yeah, that backwards.
So Kenzie, yes. She's not watching any Red Dwarf. She's heard me go on about it. She's had Mr. Fibble in her toy box, which is where I found him today. But she's not watched any of this. So
I'm sure.
Really,
I was thinking, because if we did this 4 years ago, she would have been. Probably, I think she even appeared in it. Show.
She wouldn't have come.
Yeah. Kenzie, are you excited to watch Red Dwarf?
Not really. I'm more for Mr. Fibble.
Mr. Fibble. You might actually really... This episode's called Backwards, and I think you might really enjoy it because it's very cleverly
Has
made.
Has it got Mr. Fibble?
No. Fibble? But if you enjoy this, we can go home and watch all of the episodes. Because at the moment we're watching... What are we watching at the moment at home? Community.
Oh,
yes.
I
want to
make me the chatterbox.
She wants to make me the chatterbox for the intro. Nice. I tried to get her onto Psych and she was like, not interested, but she likes Community.
Community's good.
Yeah.
We finished S Creek because she wouldn't let us say the name. And she absolutely loved that as well. So she called that David and Patrick were going to be together before I did when I watched it for the first time. She was just like, yeah, they're going to be a couple. And I'm like... How do you know that? That might not be the... She's like, yeah, I can see it. I can read the tension. And I'm like, how can you read tension? You're 10 years old.
She grows up. She's smarter than the adults in this room.
Yeah. She's perceptive.
Yeah.
So basically she's going to be a shipper in the next couple of years.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You know what Mackenzie needs? Is her parents to get incredibly drunk and her to be put in a random person's house who walks in drunkenly and says, here, watch Red Dwarf while your parents have fun. And then that's how you learn about Red Dwarf, because that's how I learned. They were just like, you'll love this, it's great. That's also how I learned about Studio Ghibli.
That's how I watched the first Lord of the Rings movie in full. Before then, Justin and Jeanette had edited out all the combat fighting scenes, the home version, so I'd never seen...
All the bloody bits.
I'd never seen Boromir's death.
What?
Which is quite an integral part of the first movie, you might almost say.
What happened to him in the second movie?
Yeah. It just kind of, the fighting sort of began, Aragorn was drawing his sword as if he was approaching the Uruk-hai at the end, and then it cut to Boromir's boat sailing down the river.
And
off the falls of...
they all lived happily ever after.
Yeah. Oh, now this reminds me, because when we taped off the TV, so in 97, in preparation for, they were going to do a movie, and then they didn't. So they Americanized the first three series. And so that's what we taped off the TV, and there were so many jokes cut.
Dwarf.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You can find them on YouTube.
Yeah,
there's two pilots that they made, and they're horrendous.
Also, yes, and they also edited the first three seasons to cut down time to 25 minutes.
They Americanized them to be able to put the ads in.
Yes. So basically it ruined a lot of jokes. Like, it destroyed, two or three major jokes from Better Than Life. They just cut out an entire scene.
Oh, is this when they did the remaster years ago?
Yes,
yeah. So this is what they did. They showed that on ABC. So they added a whole heap of CGI shots of Starbuck and took out good stuff.
Yeah, I was like, there's a couple of jokes in there that were ruined completely by that.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
But they cut heaps out of Better Than Life. So when you watch
replaced
it
with shots of Starbuck. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's even not with that episode. It was shots of Red Dwarf. But yeah, with the later ones. And you made the intro longer and all the rest of it. And did that whole on the intro instead of the old school intro.
Yeah.
Which is so much
and it's like, it's even jokes like the entire scene is quick where they're in the hologram support bay. They just edit CGI stuff all over Rimmer to make him look like he's failing. And it completely destroys the entire humor of the scene. Completely. It's like, it's a distraction to the point where you can't send.
So the version on Stan is the proper original old school, and it made me so happy because that wasn't what I taped off of the TV when they re-showed it on the ABC, and it's so much better.
Yes.
So much better. And how many times have we had the conversation on this podcast where the physical effects are better than the old school CGI, and this is another way where they went, let's just re-edit it with the CGI, and it just... does not hold up.
I've
been watching Star Trek, the original series, on Netflix, and they've redone 90% of the CGI, and it actually is so much better. A lot of the shots of the ship have been redone. Before they were like really poorly cut out and moved together and it looked really weird and the planets
also were, they remastered like, it.
Single colour, really low resolution. Yeah, so they remastered it all. So planets have features and aren't just a greyish, bluish ball in the middle of...
But it's being done in a manner that actually is consistent with the rest so that it actually works.
So they don't add CGI, they just... remastering, which is how that should be done.
Whereas really good. Star Trek Next Gen, I think I've spoken about this, the episode where Tasha Yar gets taken by that tar beast thing.
Oh, yes.
And it literally, because they've remastered it, it makes it very obvious it's literally a dude with a black blanket over him. And it's so bad. Because it's the special effects, the quality is so good, it makes it look worse.
Yes.
I don't remember the episode because it had Tasha Yar in it.
You don't like Tasha Yar?
Nah. Huh. Nah, not a fan. Not a Yar fan.
So more like a Niet. No, wrong language.
To be honest, I think she left the show for a similar reason. Did she? Like, they made her stand in every single shot she was in, so there would literally be her legs at the console, and then she'd have to stand there all day just because they had to have all of the crew in the background. I'll go off and do something else.
I have no idea why she left. I do remember that she regretted the decision.
She had some big conflicts. This is backwards.
Which
episode was it again? Backwards. Oh, that's right.
The first episode of the first season.
Red Dwarf. Red Dwarf.
Moys from the Dwarf. Is that the episode? Yes. Oh, hang on.
I think it is, yes.
That's
it.
I didn't come here looking for trouble. I just came to do the Red Dwarf shovel. He's smart.
Yeah, that's it.
She's smart. Yeah.
Okay.
That's how much of this I remembered.
Yeah, I could probably...
On with the episode.
I've been known to say, when Amor do what the Snamor do.
Yeah.
Mr. Flibble says,
it's time to watch Windrock.
Yeah.
That was
Red Dwarf backwards.
Red Dwarf backwards, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kenzie, how did you feel about it?
Mr. Flibble wants to know.
How did you enjoy Red Dwarf backwards?
No, what did you think? Because you haven't seen it before, right?
You're the only one who hasn't seen it.
No pressure.
You were trying to talk a lot more where the mics weren't on. Now the mics are on, you can talk.
I have no chance. You guys are talking when I'm trying as well.
No, we're not.
Okay, what did you think?
Okay, I liked it. I think it was near.
Nice, very nice, funny. Funny.
Oh, funny. Enough. You thought it's enough.
No, but do that backwards. It's funny.
Yeah. Very, very good. You guys are slow.
Yes. This means I can start you on the rest of a dwarf.
It is dim.
Mid.
Nice.
That's a little...
Very nice.
Adieu? Rude.
I am dim. That was for sure.
Really good choice. Yes, well done.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
I thought it would be good if Mackenzie was here because it would be an episode that Mackenzie would be able to find comedy in.
It was a good choice as well. One, season three.
To me,
I think season three and four were my favourite seasons.
Yep.
But also because it was right at the beginning of the season, heaps had happened between season two and three. That's why they had to have all of that blurb and whatever.
I think new
characters were introduced, so it was kind of a good starting point without actually starting at season one.
Yeah.
It definitely did really well, I think. It showcased the Red Dwarf that we all know and love. That is for sure. Silly jokes, but a lot more fast-paced. Like, I understand season one, it's slow, whatever.
It wasn't slow.
But it's so cruising.
It wasn't slow. It's just low budget. It's just a little bit low budget.
And it's more
a little bit shaky sets.
Yeah, and it's more like this series has a lot of sci-fi premises with comedy thrown into it, whereas the first season was a lot of a more interpersonal drama, for lack of a better term.
And who doesn't love a bit of interpersonal drama?
Yeah, it's just a different show.
And it was kind of introducing the dynamics between the characters. There was lots of backstory that needed to be, like, the whole episode about the cats and everything else like that was all that first season stuff, showing how they all died and,
You see, I found that when they went back with the season 11 and 12, this is what they're trying to emulate more than any of the other seasons. They're trying to imitate this feel.
Yep.
So they have a couple of very, like, sci-fi elements from today's society. So predictive AI technologies and 3D printing and just little funny things that are normal that they dial up to 11 and are very...
Yeah. And to me, I think this was, you know, season 5, Gunman of the Apocalypse, is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the award-winning one, and that was when they kind of went into their mainstream era. And I kind of went, it was almost like that era, everyone started, that I knew, was all starting to get into it, and everyone, it was on prime time instead of at midnight.
Yeah. Well, Gunman of the Apocalypse, is that, that's the last episode of this season.
Yeah.
No, that's season 5, season 6.
Actually, after the end of season 3, I sort of lost it a bit, and then, but then when it came back to season 7, where they were back on the ship.
I didn't mind really Kachansky.
Yeah. I actually really like that bit.
That's season 8.
Yeah.
Season 8, when they're in prison.
I really was quite...
Oh, no, they're in prison, but no, when they're back with the crew.
Yeah.
Yes.
The prison was quite good.
Well, they're not back with the crew until they're in prison. That's true.
I didn't enjoy that as much. I kind of felt like it was losing
I felt because they went back to sort of the dialogue. It was the two of them in the prison cell doing the dialogue that worked really well.
And that kind of the bottle episodes. And see, like Maroon was that bottle episode where it was just them in one set the whole time. I think they had a few little bits and pieces, which was the other sets, but it was mainly just them bouncing off of each other. That stuff did work really well. And that was one of the good things. When they got the green light to start season one, BBC had come out of all of the Doctor Who era and everything like that, and they said, the last thing we want is us filming in some Welsh quarry for some alien species that we can't pronounce. We want it cheap as, and they said, yep, we can film this as cheaply as possible. And they did it for season one, and then slowly they got more and more budget.
Two blokes bantering in the bunk beds.
And it absolutely worked, you know.
That's what I really liked about season one. This didn't do it as much, but Rimmer and Lester have got such rapport between each other. And it is so fantastic. And that's what I fell in love with initially. And when that rapport was slowly lost, that's when I slowly stopped watching the show. Because I genuinely loved the boyish charm of it all. I liked the bouncing back. And a lot of the jokes that you couldn't really tell because, I mean, let's face it, they probably would have been more sexist if there was a woman in the show. It really did fit that boys' adventure sort of mold. But that is something that I really loved for that show. That's the thing. I legitimately, I don't think I've watched past... What was this season? Season 3? I might have seen season 4. I don't know, but I really haven't watched it since
they
then.
They never really showed a lot of season 4 on ABC. It was, I had to buy the videos to be able to watch them, to be able to complete my VHS collection.
Yeah, because that's what happened. Like I rented season 4 and 5 from the video store, so that's how I saw them. Yeah.
Yes, and because I think I watched them the first time.
From the library.
Yeah. I think I ended up just, I had to buy them because I just couldn't. They would show up to the end of season 3, then they'd go to season 5 or 6 or, you know, and go from there. It did go through these kind of evolutions. And that was one thing I really did love, that it was the whole point of it was these guys just kind of bouncing off of each other. And sometimes they would have the monster of the week, and the monster of the week really didn't.
It wasn't what you watched it for.
It was always the B plot. Like the one with the, was it the DNA one where it ended up being DNA. Like the Vindaloo monster, and it was just and it was like what people actually liked about it was the whole Crichton working out how to be a human, and that type of stuff is what we watched it for. When I used to watch it as a kid or as a teenager, I used to watch it with my next door neighbour, and I think I said this the last time we watched it. I used to go around to her place every Saturday morning, and her parents would record it. We'd watch it together. And the way she pitched it to me, season one, which I always remember, is she said, every single character in this show is completely flawed, and that's what's so good about it. There is no hero in this show because the only kind of good character is... Lister's a complete slob. Rimmer's just the worst person. You know, Holly's an idiot. Kat's completely vain. And it's just all of the little bits of redemption that they had as characters was offset by the fact they were completely... If they were put in the real world, they would be so repellent that people wouldn't want to be around them.
I think I was given the same spill by the drunk person, which was imagine all the worst people that could be alive Yes! And that's what it is. And I'm like, sure thing, mate. But I don't know. I really liked it. I do like that they've kind of reinvented themselves as well, but kind of like a rock band sort of thing. So, yes, you know, every album's ever so slightly different. I don't feel like you'd get anything like this at all today. Not unless it's labelled specifically.
Music's a very good comparison, admittedly. Yes, because they're basically... The rock band, the tone
really does shift quite heavily as well between all of them.
Between series.
Yeah.
And I think it's fascinating as well. Like, I think we talked about the US tried to create pilots of this show. And they tried it twice.
And both times they made the characters less flawed.
Yes, they made them. The Lister character was, is it Craig Burko or something, who's like Captain Squarejaw, you know, is like that kind of... Then the girl who plays... I can't even...
Terry Farrell.
Yes, Terry Farrell, who's on Deep Space Nine, plays Kat. And it's
Dax. Jesse Dax.
Oh, right.
And then I think there was the other version has the... chick who was in Frasier.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the English girl in Frasier was the other cat. Like, they just went...
I think she was in Holly.
Oh, she might have been Holly? Yeah. And I think it was like that. Oh, yeah, we need to have a woman in there. But it couldn't just be a woman. It had to be a sexy woman. And it's like...
I think that's why I legitimately didn't like bringing in a female at all.
Yeah.
Same.
And what would have been good is if they'd taken the Parallel Universe episode and the US took all the female actors from the Parallel Universe and Dog and the male Molly who stayed behind instead and then ran with that instead and did the complete gender flip adventure. Yes.
What I think would have been fun is seeing Rimmer, but with a female hologram. Arnold Rimmer. Lister and a female Rimmer would have been, I think, quite funny. Like... if he wasn't trying to get with her, she was just everything.
Yeah. Don't you feel like they make a Chansky a female Rimmer, though?
Not really. I think they gave her too much prim properness and not enough self-loathing.
She was nothing like the original Kachansky.
Yeah. They changed her so completely.
It was so retconned.
Yeah, that was a problem.
Yeah.
If they wrote her as a man and wrote everything about Kachansky as a man and then went, oh, let's get a woman to play this role, I think it would actually work really good and be quite a lot of
fun. I think there's a few
characters. But then you go, these three people, you know, if you include Kat, in space and you throw in a woman... it's problematic. Yeah. I used to marry Sue about, you know, go, oh, if Kachansky came, it would be so awesome and all the rest of it. And then,
but it's the only way that you could do a role like that in this sort of a show is, like with the Alien movies, Ripley was originally written to be a man and then something changed and the director was like, let's get a woman instead. And that's why Ripley is now viewed as one of the most iconic, strong female characters, but it's kind of sad that she was just written as a man.
Yeah.
And so the only way to write women, apparently, is to sexualize it a little bit.
And I think that's the problem. I think no matter how much they did it, they would still, as the characters would evolve, there would end up being some kind of sexual tension and weren't they? And just full of fact.
It's not that there wasn't that between them at this and Rimmer, though.
Actually, there was a couple of episodes, wasn't there?
I would be 100% down to see Ripley having her hair done or something like that, just as like a slow moment of her getting her hair done and then like, oh no, there's a problem and alien stuff. And then she goes, right, let's go, kind of thing. Like that would be nice because that's a way to bring femininity into a character without sexualizing them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's all right. But that was a rant.
All they needed to do, though, is bring Kachansky back and make her gay. So then the whole sexual element's out of it. And like you said,
I hate that that's even a thing that we need to do.
I know, but it wouldn't be for anything else.
They did break up.
Yeah. If only a few of them contained in space together, it would happen.
But the annoying thing is like, let's get into social problems, all right? The problem with bringing a female in to this show, 100%, is if she's gay or if she's not interested and the character, like the male character, continues to go after her, if she's not interested, oh, maybe I'll wear her down. eventually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is not a no means no.
I don't know if there was tension, but there was never like harassment.
There was in the beginning. It was interesting because I think there's one episode. Sorry, there's one episode in season 7. I think it is when she first comes in, mm-hmm. and she's basically like, not interested. I like my Dave. We're not a thing. Yeah. And then something happens, and he's like, oh, when he loses his arm, and he goes, oh, what about sex? And she's like, not here. It's too sandy. And it's like you kind of go, does that mean that? There could have been the potential. Does that mean that there was the potential? We're just not watching it on the show, you know? And it's like, but there was no actual tension with that.
But it means that the person, women are not respected.
Yeah.
And this is the issue, is women are not respected.
Have you seen Parallel Universe recently? Because...
Oh, that's the worst as far as...
Yeah, because what happens, I mean, it's not just the fact that there's female equivalents, but when you get to the pub scene where Rimmer and Rimmer are in there, female Rimmer is basically sexually assaulting male Rimmer.
Yeah.
And to the point where basically, like, it's sexual harassment, it's slut-shaming, it's horrendous, it's like...
And it's supposed to be, reflecting Rimmer's problematic behaviour back on himself and realising how abhorrent he is, but it definitely gives you the squick, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely,
It's the ick, and it's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, so it's more like, if you brought a female character to this show, which started in 1987, 1988, that wouldn't have worked in that time with these writers in that environment. It would have failed entirely. So, like, we can look back and go, it would be better if, but they have not been able to do justice. They would not have written the character well at all.
Yeah. 100% agree. 100%.
So having Holly worked...
Yes, I do agree with that thought process.
And I think Holly worked well, and there was a good rapport between them and Holly.
Yeah.
And the reason why Hattie Heyridge came on board was because Norman Lovett had been offered another role, so he was given his own show, and so he went off to do his own show. I think it lasted one season, then got picked up again. So he went off to do his own show, and then they went, who are we going to get to come in and replace? And she'd been doing really well at some of the, like, Edinburgh or something like that, one of the fringe shows, and they described her in a review as the female Norman Lovett. So they went, the female Norman Lovett, that's exactly what they're looking for. And they brought her in for an audition. They went, well, she's not really much like Norman Lovett, but she'll do. And it just took off. I don't see it as the female Norman Lovett in any way. But
she's different, and she brings her own pizzazz to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I genuinely did like her, watching it more as an adult, because I haven't seen it in my adult years.
Yeah, I think she did a great job.
Yeah.
And I think it was her first acting gig. She was a stand-up.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not as though her being on the TV screen the whole time. It's though she needed to worry about
I don't know about the whole
stuff.
Time. I think she had two lines in the entire episode.
I mean, like, for the entire...
She was expositional.
Entire role in the show being on a TV screen. She didn't have to worry about all the acting stuff as much as what you have to do.
Kind of stand-up because you've... Bouncing.
She's doing sit-down comedy now.
That's
what she was doing there.
Sit down in a little chair and go black screen.
And
I think, is it Robert Llewellyn? He was the only one who was an actor. None of them were actors.
I think Chris Barry.
He was an impressionist.
Done acting for radio before,
Just like that in the comments. Remember the first time I watched a show, having no idea who Ronald Reagan was, to recognise that mask that Clayton was wearing a Ronald Reagan mask. Like, is that?
I never realised that until then.
It's also slightly funny looking back, because one of Chris Barry's most famous roles was on Spitting Image, where he voiced Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Before. So Spitting Image started in 1980. Have you heard it before? Seen it before?
No.
It's like puppets.
So basically, the puppets of all politicians, TV stars.
Royal family.
Royal family. And it's basically just taking the piss for an hour every week.
And by the way, welcome back, Cassandra.
Oh, yes.
Yes! Let's talk about this!
How long has it been?
1 month. Like, I wasn't here one month.
1 month. My God, we couldn't cope.
One episode, okay?
We fell apart.
We just couldn't cope at all.
I think that the funniest thing was, it was like, we got a message and it was like, oh, I hurt myself tonight at roller derby. I think I've hurt my ankle. Next minute, it was a week in hospital.
Weeks in hospital.
Cass had to one-up you.
That's what it was.
They were just like...
Fracture your ankle?
Yeah.
Let's see how it's really done.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Smash.
Yeah.
So, long story so short, I've had a lot of free time over the past weeks.
What have you been doing with that free time?
Been
yes.
No. Let's save it for our wrap. wrap up. You write us a list and tell us all about what you've been watching.
For our 2024 wrap up.
Yes. And also because, like, I've still got quite a few weeks before I go back to work, so I still have free time, so I can still watch more stuff.
Exactly. Oh, perfect. Wow. Perfect.
Wow. Well, you did say you listened to the Rupert episode, so it can't be any worse than the stuff I was watching when I was six.
I mean, I could if I wanted to know.
We're going to give you a DVD set.
I do recommend that Cary Elwes and Brooke Shields and the Scottish Castle one. That was probably the best out of all of them, and that is not saying very much.
Hallmark Christmas.
Only because it was Cary Elwes.
Yeah. Mm. So, Angus, what food? Mm. And Mackenzie, what emoji? Because we were doing emojis with
now
you.
Now, what's doof and what's itch?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Eros.
Either penguin, kitty, or reverse.
Is there a reverse emoji?
I mean,
I'm not sure. Like,
an arrow?
In the sign bits of emoji, there's like signs and then there's a reverse thing. Like cars?
Like a U-turn.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. So it's like a reverse,
symbolising what we want.
What about like a wrong way go back?
Is there an emoji that's like that though?
U-turn?
I know there's like a sign that says wrong way go back. So like if you're going down a street, you have to do a U-turn and leave. I don't know if there's an emoji for
it. Yeah, that's the thing. We're looking up on our phones.
Angus,
right?
I'm only like 50% sure this is what the food item is called, but it's gotta be a Berliner bun.
Ah, it was actually a matchstick.
Oh, is it?
It's gotta be a matchstick.
A regurgitated matchstick.
Yeah. I think we all wretched in unison
when
we watched that. So good. I've seen it so many times, I'm just like, okay,
there
you go, back with me.
So for listeners, it's just like a kitchener bun, but it's long and thin. It's got the same strawberry inside, cream.
I don't need you to judge me on my bakery choices. Thank you.
You'd eat that?
Oh, I would smash that in a heartbeat, but I'm hungry.
I don't have a sweet tooth. I'm more of a savory.
I think bakeries still sometimes serve them.
At the right bakery.
Our local bakery, they still have them.
Yeah. I've bought one a couple of times from...
I'm not
thinking they're selling like cold.
Yeah.
We would buy them for little kids.
And then watch them run around in circles.
Watch them smear it all over their
head. Oh my god, yeah, the cream just
I've got a picture of her when she was about, she was just under a year old and it was her first cupcake and it was just just icing.
I remember that actually. We used to get Kitchener buns, Berliner buns, and Jeanette would hate Justin for like a good hour after we got given them because Dad would buy them for us, and so we'd just cover our faces in cream and just. It'd be the worst.
Which is great. And Jeanette would have to clean up. So the big question is, going back to Red Dwarf, so as the only person who's never watched a Red Dwarf episode before, Kenzie, would you watch more Red Dwarf episodes?
Can I convince you to watch more? Lisa pleaded desperately.
Yes, Bear or Ken, not you.
What? Oh my god. Oh, am I the loved...
Bella?
I'm the loved aunt.
Bella, I think you've accidentally adopted this kid.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I did just give him my crunchy roll. So.
Yeah.
I'll be best friends now. I feel like you need initiation on Red Dwarf. I think you would really enjoy it. I think you would. You enjoyed that episode.
The more you get to know the characters, the fun you see it.
No, like, and I think that's comedy. The thing. You get to know the characters and you get to enjoy it. And you should. We're having a bit of a good run with some sitcoms at the moment. And I think we need to do some English sitcoms because I think they're all being a bit American. So the next one English she wants to do is Parks and Rec. So she only knows the memes.
Get her to watch The Office.
Oh, the IT crowd.
It's cringe comedy. And I can't do
it. I
could not handle Parks and Rec.
Yeah, no, I think that's a terrible
first
show.
First season.
The first season.
No, the first season.
I know.
We've had this discussion.
Thank you so much
for joining us for this Red Dwarf.
Baylor.
Oh, that's right. It was Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
Red Dwarf episode. Thank you very much for watching this episode of
What are we doing next?
Classic Cult TV Club.
Next, we are actually doing another redemption.
Redemption!
So, our least favourite person of the group.
That would be moi.
No, I'm joking.
Purely in terms of bad picks.
I have a bad run of picking shows. You better pick a
good one. I was doing Quantum Leap, which was your bad.
Yeah.
You volunteered that one. That was all on you, mate.
I'm just trying to see if. You see in it.
I was going to pick it, but you got in first. You're going to have to watch a few episodes to work out which one to pick.
He's not going to do that. He's going to Google it. Like,
I'll Google it. Yeah, now.
Then if it doesn't work, it'll go, well, that's because you didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lisa is doing Young Ones.
I thought the whole lot.
Yes, Young Ones is good.
Yes.
It didn't need redeeming.
Why does that need redeeming?
It doesn't need redeeming. I just want to do another episode.
Okay,
so. Do you know what? I don't love the Young Ones. It didn't vibe with me. So if you can pick one that I really will vibe with, that'd be awesome. Because I've heard nothing but good things. And I'm like, where are the good things?
There's lots of good ones.
So that's the redemption in your eyes.
In my eyes, 100%. Yeah, but then so does B5. So, you know.
That's my fault, though. Sorry.
If you're in your good life,
I am in my good life phase right now.
They have several references to the good life.
Okay.
I think isn't there one episode where Neil talks about
Felicity.
We sow the seed, nature grows the seed, and we eat the seed, and then we sow the seed. Yeah, and it's usually that's the episode where they decide they're going to grow a little veggie garden and be like the good life.
Yeah.
And then, there's several episodes where they talk about Felicity, Treacle, Kendall, and
that was it.
Yes.
But that's our next one.
Okay.
But that's not what I'm going to be doing.
Okay. You bring your favourite episode then.
Good, I will.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Good.
Just make sure you have the video.
Do we have a video?
You're going to bring that episode, aren't you? I just know that's what you're going to do.
100%.
Yes.
Okay. That was it.
Bye.
See y'all.
Bye.
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 Flickle says goodbye.
Aren't you glad I found him and brought him? It was just the best thing ever. We'll be right back.